Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Welcome to part two as we talk about decoding dog food. I'm going to talk today about kind of the breakdown of how the food enters the body, how the dog actually processes the food, and I'm going to talk a little bit about deficiencies and how that can create some behavior concerns, whether it's anxiety or fear. Now, I had previously thought about doing a bigger kind of talk on this, but I think I don't want to make it too nerdy. I know that you guys probably get checked out, so I want to try to make this a little bit more sweet, short, simple, and not too overwhelming on the scientific terms, and just try to make it as clear as possible so you guys can understand not just understanding the dog food, but understanding how it does affect your dog's entire system when it's not the right food. Before I get into it, a couple of announcements. Number one, be sure you're signing up for the newsletter and be sure that you are following us on social media, because I am going to be offering some new webinars and events taking place. I don't want you guys to miss that. The other thing is Dr. North is having a free webinar each Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can find that information on her Instagram page through her bio. This is the one she had this past Sunday was about detoxing your home and using essential oils on and around your pet. If you've not heard about kind of how essential oils can be a little detrimental to your pet's health, this is something I would encourage you to do. It is going to be on Zoom. It is free. All you have to do is get to the link and show up at 3 o'clock when it takes place. And I know you've already missed one, but if you are on our newsletter list, I put out a blast the past Sunday just to let people know about it. She had just reached out and let me know this was happening. So I was like, absolutely, I'm going to tell my clients, tell all my listeners about it, because if she's got something to say, I promise you, it's worth listening to. And if you've not listened to her on the podcast, be sure that you do go back and listen to that episode. And I will hopefully be having her back on soon, and we'll talk about more of these things, because I think this is some really good information. As a matter of fact, as a listener, if you have things you would like for Dr. North to talk about, she's a holistic veterinarian. She is focused on traditional Chinese medicine. So if you are interested in hearing something of, that's interesting to you, let me know. And I'll kind of pass it on to her to see if it's something that she is willing to talk about and discuss on the podcast. I love having her on. We work very well together. She is definitely a part of my village and a part of my client's village. If she's able to get her hands on them doing acupuncture, it's a major positive on dog's overall well-being, as well as the owner truly understanding why those energetics matter. So go and do that. I'll put the link in the show notes for her. I'll just put the Zoom link in the show notes. How's that? That way you guys can show up. It's going to be every Sunday, 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, and it's going to be on Zoom, and it's free. Guys, you don't want to miss this. All right, so I'm going to get into this a little bit. Again, don't want to make it too nerdy. I know I can get a little carried away. I appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. But again, I think that when I share information, I share it because I think it's a very important part of the overall health and well-being of your dog. So if I'm putting something out there, I'm putting it out there because I have a reason why I think you need to know something. So keep that in mind, even if it may be a topic that you're like, I don't know if I need to understand that topic or not. I don't know if I need to listen to that, right? If you're looking at the title on the episode and you're like, I don't really know if I need to do that. I feed raw, so I don't need to understand decoding dog food. Well, that may be the case, but it might be helpful for you to hear some other parts of this that will help you with your homemade diets that you're making or your raw diets, whatever that case may be. So let's get into it. If you remember, we talked about the top five ingredients last week. We talked about the importance of understanding how those top five ingredients are made and put in there and what the process is, as well as why when you think you're feeding a good protein food, when you look at the top five ingredients based off of that and about the weight after or prior to cooking and then the weight after cooking, you can see that a lot of times it's not a really good solid protein food. So make sure that you are looking at those bags. So now let's talk about what happens when your dog eats these foods. All right, we're going to start when food enters the mouth. The teeth tear and crush the food into smaller pieces, and the saliva actually moistens the food and contains enzymes to start the breakdown of those foods. But here's the thing. This is where a lot of people get confused on kind of that tartar on the teeth that we talked about last week, is there's minimal ability for carbs to start that digestion because they don't have what they need in their saliva to break that down. So that's where a lot of times it gets stuck on the teeth. So at this stage, nutrients and minerals are not yet absorbed. It's just preparing the food for digestion. And of course, then it makes its way down to the stomach where there's a very acidic environment in that stomach. You know, we are more of, our pH is very different, right? We are not as acidic. We are more of an alkaline base, whereas dogs have a very acidic environment. And that's why they can break down things like the raw bones that we talk about. They can break that down easy because of the acidity. And we don't worry about things like salmonella, really like we do in humans, because the intestinal tract is a lot shorter. So the food doesn't stay in the body as long as it would for humans. But we'll get there. I get ahead of myself sometimes. So then you have your pepsin, which is an enzyme. It begins breaking down proteins into smaller peptides. Now, acid helps to liberate these minerals from the food so they can be absorbed later. Now, the stomach does not absorb most nutrients, but it prepares the proteins and minerals for absorption once it gets into the intestines. Now, the small intestines, this is where everything happens. The pancreas releases the digestive enzymes where it can begin to break down these into absorbable forms. So the minerals and nutrients are broken down into absorbable forms for the next step in the process. Let's break down each nutrient on how it is actually digested and sent into the body. Proteins, which are broken down into amino acids, they are absorbed into the bloodstream. Now, this is used for muscle repair, enzyme and hormone production, and immune function. Your fats, these are broken into fatty acids and glycerol. They are actually absorbed into the lymphatic system first, which means they're being used for energy, brain and nervous system health, hormone production, and cell membrane integrity. Now, keep that in mind on the brain and nervous system health. We're going to come back to that. Carbohydrates. Now, they're broken into simple sugars like glucose. This is absorbed directly into the bloodstream, and it's used primarily for quick energy, which means there's going to be a crash. So the more carbs your dog has in their diet, the faster that blood sugar levels are going to spike and crash. And that's why we want less carbs, more fats and protein. Any of your vitamins, like your A, D, E, and K, they are absorbed with the fats. Those are called fat-soluble vitamins. Now, your water-soluble vitamins, like your B-complex and vitamin C, they're absorbed directly into the blood. Minerals are absorbed in different areas depending on the type. Calcium, phosphorus that is absorbed with your bones, teeth, muscle. Magnesium is nerve signaling, enzyme function. Iron is absorbed by the oxygen transport. Zinc, sodium, potassium, chloride. So these are, go back to the zinc real quick. Zinc is really absorbed in different areas based on the immune function, skin, and coat health. So again, those are some important ones. And absorption depends on gut health, proper enzyme function, and balance ratios. Too much of one mineral can block another. Now, I know this is, you're probably sitting there going, my God, Nikki, this is too much. I can't do this. I don't want you to get overwhelmed. I just think that it's important you understand that there's just more to it than what you may see in these dog food commercials or, you know, whatever the case may be. Now, let's talk about the liver, because this is after absorption. The liver becomes that kind of processor and the regulatory. So nutrients travel to the liver, and then the liver stores certain vitamins and minerals. It will convert nutrients into usable form. So, right, if the liver's not healthy or the liver is blocked, then it's going to have a hard time absorbing or getting those nutrients to a point where they can be used. Livers also detoxifies the harmful substances and regulates blood sugar and fat metabolism. The liver is like the nutrient traffic controller. But again, if the liver's not working the way it should, right? If we only have, it's like when we were dealing with our traffic controllers, air traffic controllers here, where we were having less traffic controllers, right? The less traffic controllers we had, the harder it was to direct all the planes. And it's important that our traffic controllers are healthy and there's plenty so that we can direct everything that needs to happen. And this is why we need to focus more on the liver and on how important that liver is and what we can do to help support your dog's liver in order to help with this, absorption and the sending out of the nutrients. Now, the large intestine, which again is not as long as ours, this is where your water, electrolytes, and your microbiome are supported. So in the colon, if water and the remaining electrolytes are absorbed, the gut bacteria ferment undigested fibers, producing short-chain fatty acids that support gut and immune health. So the gut bacteria, okay? Gut bacteria is important. This is when we talk about changing the gut bacteria. There's a lot that we can do with gut bacteria. So we'll come back to that. Just keep that in mind. I'm going to point out a few things I want you to try to hang on to, and the rest you can hear and then move on. But I really want you to focus on it when I'm repeating that, because we're going to come back to it. Now, very little mineral absorption occurs here, but gut health strongly influences overall nutrient availability. So again, if your dog's gut is not healthy, the liver's not functioning properly, then they're not able to absorb those nutrients and minerals that they truly need, no matter what good food you're feeding. And that's why so many times people say, you know what, I'm feeding the best kibble out there. I'm spending this much money. I've tried all the high quality brands and my dog is still struggling. And that's because we're not getting to the root issue. Yes, is that kibble maybe too hard for your dog's system? Possibly, but we're not getting to the root issue with it. Now, anything that's not absorbed, is basically excreted. And that's why the bigger your dog's elimination looks and the more often they do it could potentially mean that your dog is not absorbing all the nutrients and minerals that they need. So look at your dog's size, how much they're eating, and then determine, is my dog pooping too much? If your dog's pooping too much, or your dog has, is 30 pounds and pooping the size of a mastiff, then your dog is not absorbing all the nutrients and minerals that they need. Now, why does this matter? And I'm going to say this is going to be focused on stress, nervousness, brain function, trauma. These are all the things I want to bring this back to, because I think it is crucial to understand, again, instead of just a blanket statement, how nutrition is crucial to behavioral health, but I want to try to make it a little bit clear for you. So why does this matter? So when we talk about chronic stress in dogs can actually reduce stomach acid production, which means that the dog is not going to be able to digest the food as easily. When the system has to work overtime, that's going to take away energy for the rest of your dog's systems, right? So they're going to suffer in other areas, especially immune system. Chronic stress can disrupt enzyme release, again, helping to break that down and alter the gut and the ability to do its job, also known as leaky gut. So let's stop here and let's talk about leaky gut syndrome, because I've heard many people talk about how their dog suffers from leaky gut syndrome or irritable bowel disease, which is not a disease at all. It's actually just a syndrome to where the GI tract, the wall thickens and it's not able to absorb the nutrients. So if we're talking about leaky gut syndrome, now we are talking about leaky gut is a little different. Leaky gut is when the barrier function of the intestines is compromised. So substances that would normally pass through the intestines can instead cross the intestinal wall and enter the body's circulation. So again, losing out on the nutrients, the minerals, not to mention that that can cause some serious issues in your dog's overall health. And also chronic stress can impair mineral absorption, like magnesium, zinc, and iron. So even if your dog's eating a nutritionally complete diet, they can still be functionally deficient. And it can be a lot of times just because their nervous system is dysregulated. So, you know, I talk about nutrition being the number one thing for, behavior and nervous system regulation. But the more study that we get and the more that we get involved with it and the more wonderful papers are coming out about it in the scientific world, is that sometimes we have to focus on the nervous system regulation to help with the nutritional aspect. And each case is going to be different, so we really want to look at it a little differently. So common nutrient deficiencies in dogs, again, this is a lot of times the result of impaired digestion, absorption, and of course, increased physiological demand, like dogs living with chronic stress, fear, or trauma. When the nervous system is dysregulated, the body is going to prioritize survival over digestion. And this shift can actually reduce stomach acid, alter that enzyme production, disrupt that gut microbiome. Again, remember that word too. We've talked about gut microbiome, and interfere with the absorption of key nutrients and minerals. So let's just break a few of these down to talk about the importance of the nutrients and how those can be affected with that chronic stress. Now, I'm not going to cover everything that's out there. This episode would be way too long. I just want to focus more in the idea of dealing with dogs with a dysregulated nervous system. And maybe you don't even know that your dog's nervous system is dysregulated, and maybe this will help you to see that there is a potential that your dog may be suffering from that. I know there are a lot of humans with dysregulated nervous systems right now, especially after we just dealt with 10 days of extreme cold, snow, power outages. We were fortunate that we have had electricity the majority of the time. We have been safe and warm. We have great neighbors. We've been very fortunate. I know a lot of people have not. Just got done talking to a good friend of mine who they try to stay in the house for a couple of days and use their fireplace. But, you know, when the kids' lips start turning blue and the dogs are shivering, it's time to head it on out and find a safer place. So a lot of systems, even with that little thing, yes, my friends were able to get to a nice hotel and were fortunate enough to be able to do that. Doesn't mean that their systems aren't dysregulated from just the change in the routine, the change in the predictability that occurs on a daily basis, and waking up each morning and not knowing if your electricity is going to come back on. So there's a lot of things that can create these issues. And imagine if we're doing it as humans, what our dogs are feeling during all of that. So magnesium. Magnesium plays a critical role in nervous system regulation, muscle relaxation, enzyme function, and stress resilience. It's essential for calming neural activity and supporting the parasympathetic responses, which is your rest and digest. This is where we can sometimes offer a little extra magnesium to help with some of our clients. I know people, sometimes my clients, I'll say, let's get your dog on a little bit of magnesium, try to help, you know, with this. They look at me like, what does magnesium have anything to do with? And again, this is why we talk about it. We know why deficiency occurs, right? Chronic stress, poor absorption, inadequate intake, or improper mineral ratios. The common signs of deficiency, this is what I want you to pay attention to. Heightened anxiety or reactivity, muscle tension or tremors, poor stress recovery, so not good in resilience, restlessness or difficulty settling. Now, there are a lot of things that can create these signs and these symptoms, but let's start with our nutrition because it truly is super important. Zinc supports immune function, so that skin and coat health, wound healing, and neurotransmitter activity. Now, it's also involved in hormone regulation and digestive enzyme production. So the less zinc you have, the less zinc your dog has, the harder they're going to have to work to digest the food that we're putting into their system. And the kibble is already hard to digest because of what it is. So we've already asked our dog's system to digest something that's not normal. And so then if we deplete or we have a deficiency in some of these, we're going to have more issues. It comes a full circle on everything. And this is why I preach nutrition all the time, because it all does connect. Everything connects. And this is also why I overwhelm my clients in their first session or second session, because I want to get them all the information. And I think I do it because I'm afraid if I don't see them again, I just want them to have as much as they can. Because sometimes things start going really well and they think everything's good and they just kind of back off of kind of, I say, therapy for their dogs. And sometimes that's not the case. We're still seeing some struggles, but they're missing them because they're not as big. All right, so our zinc deficiency occurs because of stress-related malabsorption. Diets that are low in bioavailable zinc, keep an eye on that. And excess calcium will interfere with zinc absorption. So if you're feeding a homemade diet, a raw diet, you need to make sure you're not doing too much calcium because it can prevent some absorption of your zinc. Common signs of deficiency for zinc would be things like itchy skin, skin infections, poor coat, a dull coat, flaky coat, weakened immune response, dogs that are constantly getting sick, dogs that constantly don't feel good, and then delayed healing. You know, they get a wound and it takes forever to heal. And you might even be seeing some of these things in you. Even though this is a dog episode, I mean a dog podcast, you might find something in this episode for yourself. Iron, which we know, is essential for oxygen transport in the blood and energy production at the cellular level. Now, deficiency will occur because the poor stomach acid production limits the iron to be released from the food. If your dog has chronic inflammation in the gut, so if they're eating a bunch of things that's causing inflammation across the body, that's going to be some issues. And of course, blood loss. So if you have dogs that have parasites or GI issues, maybe they've, fleas, you know, have gotten to them, ticks, those type of dogs might have some struggle there. I know most of your dogs are not going to have that, but it needs to be said. Common signs of deficiency for that, dogs that are constantly feeling tired, they just don't have a lot of stamina. Their gums may be a little more pale. They may get tired a lot faster, with when they're exercising or playing. And overall, just maybe general weakness. We think general weakness comes from old age or, you know, arthritis. And yes, those things can occur. But if you have a young dog who is showing this, then again, let's look at that nutrient. I'm telling you guys, I know we talk about it being the gut is the second brain, but I just feel like it really, it should be learned as the center to well-being. And that's just bottom line, the center of well-being. Your B vitamins, they are crucial for nervous system health, energy, brain function, and neurotransmitter production. Deficiency can occur because when your dog is feeling stressed, stress increases demand for B vitamins. If the dog's gut microbiome is disrupted, that will reduce the absorption. And of course, if your dog has digestive disorders, that will affect the uptake. Common signs of that are going to be your anxiety, mood instability, poor focus, inability to learn, low energy, and of course, digestive upset. We've all talked about omega-3 fatty acids and how important that is, and really across the board with brain health, right? Omega-3 support brain health, but also reduces inflammation, regulates mood, and helps stabilize the nervous system. Now, one of the reasons why there may be deficiency is when there's a diet that's high in omega-6 fatty acids. I want to just read something quick for you. Now, this is out of the National Library of Medicine, and it's just a quick, it was a study in 2021, and basically they're talking about how the ratio of omega-6 versus 3 is basically changing as they learn more. They said up until about 100 years ago, the omega-6-3 ratio has been around 4-1 or less. However, the typical Western diet now provides an omega-6-3 ratio of approximately 20-1 in favor of omega-6. Basically, omega-6 is, well, fat. This predisposes to supraphysiologic inflammatory responses and perpetuates chronic low-grade inflammation. The overconsumption of, linoleic acid. Linoleic acid. I've never say that one right. Mainly from industrial omega-6 seed oils and the lack of long-chain omega-3s in the diet creates a pro-inflammatory, pro-allergic, pro-thrombotic state. Reducing the omega-6-3 ratio, particularly through reductions in the intake of refined omega-6 seed oil and increasing the intake of marine omega-3s, either through dietary means or supplementation, may be an effective strategy for reducing inflammation, allergies, and autoimmune reactions. Now, this was for humans, but again, a lot of it is the same. Okay, also poor fat digestion or bile production, increased inflammatory demand can happen, and of course, common signs, increased inflammation, cognitive or emotional instability, dull coat or dry skin, and joint stiffness. In other words, keep your dog's fat levels low, but we do need healthy fats. This is where things can get very overwhelming, and this is where I suggest you talk to a nutritionist, canine nutritionist, if you really want to dive deeper into this. I'm trying not to go too deep in this, but still try to get you guys to understand how it does affect your dog. Now, I am not an expert in this by any stretch of the imagination, and I've had to do quite a bit of just bringing up research so that I can be clear in my thoughts. So keep that in mind too. I am not an expert on this. I do try to study and understand what I can do nutritionally to help my clients, because I do deal with dogs with a lot of anxiety and stress. Your calcium and phosphorus imbalance, these minerals work together to support bone health, muscle contraction, nerve signaling, and cellular communication. So imbalances obviously occur if there's an improper ratio in diet, where if we're not giving enough calcium, we have an issue, but we talked just a second ago about how too much calcium is an issue. Malabsorption due to gut stress or excess supplementation without balance. So if you're supplementing with calcium and you're not balancing out the phosphorus, we may have some issues here. Common signs that you may need to look for: muscle weakness or tremors, skeletal issues, especially in growing dogs. And then, of course, nervous system dysregulation. Maybe I should just call this episode Nervous System Dysregulation Brought On by Food. maybe that's how I need to explain this episode. I don't know. And then let's look at electrolytes, your sodium, potassium, chloride. These electrolytes regulate hydration, nerve transmission, and muscle function. Deficiency will occur if there's chronic stress and cortisol dysregulation. Did you hear what I said? Chronic stress and cortisol dysregulation. GI upset or poor fluid balance. Maybe your dog's holding too much fluid or not enough. Common signs are lethargy, weakness, and poor recovery after stress or exercise. Okay. Now, many deficiencies are functional rather than absolute. A dog may consume adequate nutrients but still be deficient at the cellular level due to the chronic activation of the stress response, so fight or flight. If the dog's staying in fight or flight, then we're going to have some issues. Poor gut, enzyme insufficiency, and nervous system dysregulation. I'm just going to keep saying it because this is where my passion lies, this nervous system dysregulation. And this is why supporting digestion, emotional safety, and nervous system regulation is just as important as choosing that food that's for your dog. They all play a part together. They all play a part. So again, if your dog is not, you know, exhibiting calm states, then we have to say, okay, is it the food that's causing it, or is it just a dysregulation of the nervous system already? And which one do we need to do first? I'm going to say you need to work on both, right? We need to maybe do an inflammatory test through 5 strands and see what is our dog lacking, what is our dog having inflammation from, right? What is my dog eating that's creating the inflammation? What is my dog sensitive to? Not just allergies, right? It's not a true allergy. It's a sensitivity that's creating inflammation. And over time, as it builds up, your dog is going to suffer from various diseases, health issues, whether it be arthritis, gut health, with diarrhea. They could easily have ear infections on a regular basis, throw up regularly, have diarrhea regularly. Maybe they're, quick to bark at something that happens every single day, but they can't come down and calm from it. And you just think it's a behavior problem. Not necessarily. So we do need to look at the whole of the dog and try to understand, where do I start with my particular dog in helping them get regulated and be the best version of themselves? If you've not checked out our food recommendation list, that's where I would start. And then I would start creating a spa room for your dog, which is a good quiet space where they can go and just decompress, eat in peace and quiet, and have predictable actions. Right now, as I'm recording this, Willow is in her spa room. Her noise machine is on, her fan is on, and she is just resting. And it's just saying, look, right now, this is where you're going to hang out, and then mama will come back and get you soon, and we'll move on with our day. So I don't have to have a lot of whining. I don't have to have FOMO happening. Sometimes, yeah, she's a pup. She gets, she hears the other dogs playing, and she wants to come out. But my being the upper management, I have to know what she needs. And right now, being in that room, calm down is what she needs the most. I hope this has helped just a little bit. I hope I didn't get too nerdy on you to understand how your food really affects your dog and how these the anxiety that occurs is, you know, can be helped using nutrition or even using some vitamins and minerals like magnesium and adding that in. I don't know a ton about the particular test because that's not my lane. However, with a little research, preferably from sites such as Dogs Naturally, they do a wonderful job explaining things. One thing is about doing tests, doing your kind of blood work for your dog, which we all do, right? One thing they really mention is that not all tests are accurate or reliable. So if a test only has 50-50 reliability, it's not very helpful. Keep in mind, test results are snapshots. They give you a quick picture of what's happening at the moment the test is done. I've had blood work done on my dog where it came back perfect, and 2 weeks later, she was sick, and then a month later, she was dead from cancer. So yeah, it's not always black and white. So if you're looking at something, let's just take the BUN, which is the blood, urine, nitrogen. The BUN, if the results are high, that might be a sign of kidney disease, or it might just mean your dog was dehydrated when the test was done, because BUN rises with dehydration. But here's the other thing. Good food also raises BUN. The nitrogen in the protein sources elevates the blood chemistry. So dogs fed like a raw meat diet will often have a higher BUN. So you can see how that can be a little bit confusing, right, for dogs. If you're going to look at test, like blood tests for specific organs, such as like a liver panel. Liver panel, you're going to want to, you know, have things like total protein, the ALT. Do not make me say it, guys, because if I have to say these words out loud, it may be a struggle. ALT is the alanine aminotransferase, and I don't know how good I did on that. But you guys have seen this if you've done blood work on your dogs and you've looked at the results, or even your own, you've seen these. So there's a few of those that you can look at. Pancreas panel example would look at glucose, lipase, cholesterol, triglycerides. Muscle and bone panel, you're looking at calcium, creatine, electrolytes. Kidney would be your BUN, your creatine. Thyroid panel, here's the thing about thyroid panels, is most blood work panels at the vet only look at T4, which is a typical test that will be used for humans. And then only if the humans have a problem with the T4 will they go and do more. T4 is not enough to really see what the thyroid is doing. So really recommend that you do a total T4, total T3, the free T4, free T3, to see what is truly going on. And so really it's learn enough that where you can really advocate for your dog to ask for the right blood test, and just saying, instead of just saying, hey, just do this blood test. This is a really good article. It's a handy guide to dog blood test. I will put it in the shows, in the show notes. I'll put the link in there so you guys can go and read it. But there's a lot that we can do that I don't think is talked about enough of the extra tests, because we go to the vet and we say, hey, you know, it's our yearly, they do our blood work, and they kind of, you know, put their hands over the dog a little bit. They listen to the heart, look at the teeth, look at the eyes, look at the ears. But it doesn't really go beyond that unless you're truly going to advocate for your dog to get in there and say, look, I really want to check this. I want to check the liver enzymes. I want to see how, you know, this is occurring and this is happening, and I want a full panel on the thyroid, and I want to make sure that they're not in pain. So I want to really do a good physical, really manipulate their joints and move their body. You know, watch my dog walk across the floor. How many vets ask you to walk your dogs across the floor so they can look at their gait, their frontal gait, and their and from the front and from the back? How many vets do that? Do you ask your vet to look at your dog's gait? Because that gait can tell you a lot. It can tell you where your dog is holding pain. It can tell you where your dog is having stiffness or weakness. because they will compensate. They're not just going to show you and walk up to you and say, hey, mom, my leg hurts. They're going to compensate, and you're going to start to see weakness on one side and a weird gait because they're putting more pressure on the other side. These are just little things to be thinking about, because that pain, that discomfort your dog is feeling could, if not more than likely, if it's a long-term pain issue, it's going to rewire the brain. And then we are going to have some dysregulation in the nervous system. Pain rewires the brain. And it's going to keep a dog in a more fight or flight to protect themselves. So those cortisol levels go up, and then now we have this vicious cycle. I know, overwhelming. It's a lot. You do not believe the information in my head that I want to share with you guys, and I just haven't learned how to do it in a way that's, I don't know, simple or as clear as it needs to be. All I know is I just have this passion to educate you guys to help you have the best version of your dog, and that your dog can have the best version of themselves with help from you. But I have to help you learn what that looks like, so that you can help your dog. And that's the only way I can help your dog, is to help you learn. So I hope this has kind of opened your eyes a little bit and encouraged you to do more research. This is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of information out there, and you need to take that time and do a little research and do a little reading yourself, so that you are prepared when you go in and ask your vet, hey, I need X, Y, and Z, and this is why. And if they're like, you don't need that, your dog is young. No. This is what I need. This is what I'm asking you to do for my dog. And if they won't, you need to go find another veterinarian. But I think that most veterinarians are going to listen to the client, and they're going to, veterinarians are counting on you to be honest with them on what you're seeing, right? You need to, the more information you can give to your vet, the better. Don't hold anything back. If whether you believe it's important or not, you need to tell them. I tell my clients this, look, I need you to tell me everything that you feel like you need to share. Your job is not to think if it's important or not. I need you to share it with me. I have my clients will give me, I think it's about 12 pages of a behavior questionnaire that I will send to my clients prior to our first meeting, so that I can look over everything in the history of the dog. Well, I get a lot of information from that, because people just do a better job when they write things down. However, when I get on an appointment with them or in a session with them, usually the first 30 minutes, I continue to gather information by just letting them talk. I just kind of start the conversation. I just let them start talking. And as they start talking, information starts to come up that they don't think is important, but yet it comes out. And it truly can be some of the most important pieces of the puzzle that I need. So when you go to the vet, you need to be doing the same thing. Don't think about, is this important or not? Will the vet think I'm dumb for mentioning this? No, you need to constantly share all the information you feel you should be sharing about your dog. If your dog scoots their butt every morning at 9 a.m., you need to tell your vet. Because then the vet's going to say, they're scooting their butt every day at 9 a.m. Are you seeing it any other time? No, okay. Well, what happens prior to that? Well, we go outside, we potty, we come back in, we eat. So it's usually right after they eat, or 30 minutes after they eat. Okay, that could be a sign of something. So don't hold it in. Share it. Right? Express your concerns. Don't be afraid to do that. And if you are afraid to do that with your veterinarian, then it may not be the right fit for you. Doesn't say anything bad about you or the vet. It just may not be a good match. So find someone who's really going to listen to you and wants to have that deep dive to hear about the things that that you may not think matters. But oftentimes, it does matter. It's amazing to me how many times I've had clients in the past, and it's getting better now, but I've had clients in the past who just don't want to change their dog's food because they think the dog is doing well on it. But then I try to help them understand, if your dog was doing well on it, then you probably wouldn't have to be seeing me because there's not a whole lot other that's driving this behavior. So sometimes you really have to push them. When in doubt, find yourself a canine nutritionist. Find yourself a veterinarian to talk to. There are food therapists out there. There are holistic veterinarians that would be more than happy to talk to you about the right food for your dog or the right nutrients, vitamins, minerals. I have a very limited knowledge on all of that. I kind of stick with what I use for my cases for nervous system dysregulation, anxiety, fear, phobias, aggression. I kind of have my go-tos for that. So you really want to reach out to more like a holistic veterinarian, more than likely, or someone who does focus on food therapy, right? Not just a nutritionist, but someone who focuses on food therapy. And Dr. North offers that as well. So if you, again, be sure that you're going to those free webinars, because let me tell you something, getting knowledge from someone as brilliant as she is for free, you guys don't want to miss out on that. And sadly to say that while I was recording this, it is actually Sunday, and I am missing the first Zoom, and I'm not happy about that. I was totally planning on attending because I want to know how to detox my home and work with essential oils. And I totally missed it because I got really carried away in this episode because I want to go ahead and get it out there. So don't miss this. Don't miss her next one. And be sure, again, you guys are signing up for all the information or all the social media stuff that we have out there so that you're not missing out on the information that we share. Our goal is to help your dog be the best version of themselves by helping you understand what your dog needs and how to change your behavior in order to help change your dog's behavior. That's all I got. Whew, that was a good one. That's all I got. I hope you don't have a headache like I do now. I'm a little overwhelmed. All my notes here, I'm just going to push those to the side. I got some exciting things coming up, guys. I don't want you to miss it. So be sure that you are tapped in and that you are signed up for everything you need to be signed up for so you don't miss out on it. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And we'll see what next week brings. I don't know what the topic is going to be next week. But this is all I'm going to do on nutrition right now, because it's overwhelming. And again, I'm limited on my knowledge with it. Again, I try to stay in my, you know, my bubble of behavior. So when I have clients who, even when I have clients that have their dog who has like pancreatitis in the past or have had stones in the past, I don't touch that. I do recommend changes of food, but I ask them to go and talk to someone about that, typically Tiffany, because I don't have enough knowledge on that to feel comfortable recommending food for a dog who has had issues with pancreatitis or stones in the past. So again, find someone who does have that education and knowledge. There's never going to be that one person that you can go to, right? As much as I want to know everything, I have tried over the last 30 years to learn everything I need to know to be a one-stop shop. Guys, that was dumb. That was dumb that I even tried to do that. I have surrounded myself with a village who is knowledgeable, and I depend on their knowledge to help me with my clients and to help me put out that information to you guys. So hopefully I'll have a good guest coming up. I did want to mention, I know I mentioned it a few weeks ago, I was going to be recording with Patricia McConnell, the author of The Other End of the Leash, and someone who I have, I looked up to tremendously when I first started my work. And matter of fact, I watched her on TV prior to even becoming a dog trainer. So she's pretty special in my book. We were scheduled to record the week that my mom passed, and I have not been able to get her rescheduled just yet. Now, she does have a new fiction book coming out, and I believe that is coming out this month, and so she'll be on a little book tour. I'm hoping I can still get on the schedule and that she can come and talk with us about just her life as a dog trainer and all of her wonderful knowledge, but also, you know, talk about her fiction book. I love fiction. I have written a fiction. It was not great. I self-published. It was not great. I might rewrite it one day. I don't know. It was canine search and rescue stuff, and it was fun, but I think it's, you can probably still find it out there, but don't. it's a great cover. I will say, go look at it for the cover art. It's Call Out by Nikki Ivey. Go look at the beautiful front page, because that's better than the book. It was my beautiful Tiba touched by an angel baby. And that was in Jamestown, Tennessee, in the gorge. So just a beautiful, beautiful front cover. And the front cover is much better than the book. It's just not well written. So just ignore it. Just ignore it right now. Okay. That was a while back. But maybe another one day. In the meantime, though, I will tell you, I have been working on a nonfiction on chronic stress in dogs. I have completed the first version, we'll say, I guess. And then I just went through and edited for the second kind of rewrite, I guess you could say. In the fiction world, I guess this, it would be the rewrite. And now I am working on going and moving forward with hopefully getting it picked up and printed. If not, I will self-publish through Dog Speak Geek Publishing, like I have in the past, and I'll let you guys know more about that as that information comes available. But I'm excited about this book, and I think it's going to be a really good book on helping you understand how chronic stress really does affect our dogs and what we can do to help them. And yes, there is a big chapter about gut health, so there is that. Okay, that's it. I've been trying to get off of here three times, and I just keep going into something. And this is what happens when Britt's not here to stop me. I just keep chatting away. So I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day and a wonderful rest of your week. I love you. Stay warm, stay safe, and love your neighbor.